We're coming in hot with inspiring guests, witty banter, and colorful commentary for today's veterans and military community. This is the Tango Alpha Lima Podcast.
They call me crazy because I'm facing all my giants. They try to scare me into thinking I can fight it. They tell me I should never even think of trying. But that's just me, I'm gonna live out in defiance.
Whoa, Alphas, I am so glad to see you. We have somebody new on the show. I know you're only seeing two people, but she is not just an internet celebrity anymore. No, she's actual royalty. Are you royalty?
I am, but I was before.
You were before, yeah. But now you have a crown not made by yourself. It's made by somebody else. So can you share the news, please?
Well, thank you, Jeff. I have been voted to be the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year for the whole Air Force. Thank you.
The United States Air Force, I'm assuming.
The United States and Canada.
They don't know it, but they don't have enough firepower to argue with us. Yeah. So you can now take over Canada. That's amazing.
All right. So it's pretty neat that there was a public vote, and then there's also a round of organizations and senior leaders that vote as well. And then we find out in May if I won the overall.
And I'd like to take credit for this because I did vote.
You should. So thank you.
I didn't even ask, and Super Producer Hallie voted, and we didn't even ask for a piece of garbage to be named after us.
Oh, yes. I was naming garbage after people that they wanted, and my unborn children.
I would name people garbage. I do that all the time. You were just trash. You're a trash person.
Trashy.
All right. You know, so in the USAF Military Spouse of the Year is happening during March, but even though military spouses don't have to be of the female persuasion, It's still a great accomplishment for you as an individual woman. And I think you have a story about some other amazing women.
Yes, I do. This is Beyond First. Female four stars discuss changes for women in service from militarytimes.com. In celebration of Women's History Month, the nation's top female military leaders met together in public Monday for the first time to discuss how far the services have come and still need to go in their efforts to incorporate women. The panel of four-star female officers, including Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Linda Fagan, Air Force General Jacqueline Van Ovost, Army General Linda Richardson, and Navy Admiral Lisa Franchetti, gathered at the Military Women's Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, for the conversation. When all of them signed up to serve their country, there were barriers in their way. Certain aircraft they couldn't fly, certain ships they couldn't be on, certain jobs they were not allowed to have, said Nora O'Donnell, evening anchor of CBS News, who moderated the talk between the four women. All were promoted to general or admiral in their respective services within the last 2 years. Heck yes. I know some of these. I know General Van Ovost, met her. She's fantastic. They're all amazing. These are amazing people. I know female pilots, colonels that will talk about how they have been, you know, pushed aside for certain job roles, even though they're doing above and beyond what their counterparts are. I love that these people have stepped up and they're talking about it. And I can't wait until it's not even a thing and that we're all just doing our jobs. And there's not all of these things that hold people back.
And it is March, and I don't want to mansplain, but it is, I would do a correction. It's Laura Richardson, not Linda.
What did I say?
You said Linda. Laura.
Oh, yeah. Did I?
It's Laura. Okay. Laura. And that is, it's a pretty fact-filled article that you'll find in the show notes. So I would recommend watching it, or not watching it, reading it. It's at militarytimes.com. Now, and it's, of course, you know the Air Force General.
Of course. General Van Ovo, she's the best.
Of course, the Air Force. You know all of them. They all know you, because you are Military Spouse of the Year for the entire United States Air Force. Can I have one more time?
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
That's amazing.
I will accept all your adoration.
And I'm going to want an autograph selfie when I see you next.
You got it.
All right. Today, we're going to be What, more Air Force? Today we're going to be joined by Air Force Ken Corigliano. He taught me that. After a traumatic brain injury, Ken developed synesthesia, a condition in which information meant to stimulate one sense stimulates several senses. This means that Ken tastes what he hears, feels what he sees, and so on. It has given him a magnified ability to see the interconnectedness of life and a new unique perspective on the world around him. This definitely sounds like a blessing and a curse. And we're going to ask him about that. And we're going to be right back with Air Force Ken right after the break.
The American Legion is raising awareness about PTSD and veteran suicide by offering hope, camaraderie, and support.
Be the one to help end veteran suicide.
The goal of the American Legion's Be the One campaign is to destigmatize asking for mental health support.
Be the one to ask a veteran in your life how they're doing.
Be the one who saves one veteran.
Go to betheone.org and help the American Legion end veteran suicide.
Will you be the one?
Welcome back from that break, ladies and gentlemen. We are now going to put you back to work, put on your thinking caps, prepare to be impressed with Ken. Can you just say the last name for me, please?
Corigliano.
There it is, Corigliano. And Ken, before we get in, because Ashley typically asks the first question, but first of all, when I see Air Force and I see Field Commission, that implies field.
Oh, here we go.
What the heck?
The Marines are coming in.
What the heck is that?
Give us crayons.
So I was one of the first rounds into Afghanistan after September 11th, 2001, more than 20 years ago. And there I actually, I was able to fly. I was a flying crew chief on an MC-130E. It was the frame designed for this type of war. Infiltrate enemy territory, drop offs off, try to gain land, territory, and return, repeat, you know, rinse and repeat. So I was able to fly on the plane as a crew chief in case anything went wrong. And a couple missions that did go wrong. One was a coolant system that controlled the countermeasure system. So we definitely want countermeasures in case someone shoots a missile at us. So I had to go in there and it got all over me. I got really sick and everything. And so that was one. And then the second time, liquid oxygen started to be released in the gaseous form, you know, throughout the entire plane. And we were very concerned about our oxygen levels. And when we landed, of course, both missions were under fire. When we landed, I got out and I went in the nose of the airplane and got all inside the liquid oxygen, and I was able to fix it with a really good guess. And we took off and completed the mission. Upon arrival, they had filled out this commissioning paperwork for me to be commissioned, and General Mosley signed it, who was a major at the time. And signed it, and I got accepted. And I literally spent the next 3 weeks trying to get accepted into colleges with a less than 2.0 GPA from school. So that's it.
If you dream it, you can achieve it.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I was all about service, man. I was like, hey, put me anywhere, do anything, I don't care. And I'm here to serve. So I was just elated. It was cool.
And actually, in modern times, heard about anything like a field commission?
Yeah.
So they were calling it that, but they pushed me into a program. It only took them a few hours because the flights were like 8 hours. So on the flight back, they pushed me into an ROTC scholarship program, and they say, "Hey, you know, you didn't finish college, so we're going to push you into this Airman Scholarship Commissioning Program." And they had to go all the way up to the SOCOM commander, and like they did it in a couple hours, and it was pretty awesome. So
wow.
Yeah, I went to college for 4 years and they paid for everything, and then I commissioned, and here I am 20 years later.
Was it hard for you to give up the crew chief side? My husband flew C-130s for the longest time. He threw H models. You know, that was your baby, right?
That yeah, plane. Absolutely. So
what was that like?
Well, it was tough because if you think about it, I had to leave that environment and go to school in August. So it was like the May timeframe when the event occurred, and then June. And I had to literally spend June and July trying to get accepted in the college from Uzbekistan with a satellite phone. You know, like there's an 8 second delay. Everyone just hung up because they're like, hello, hello, hello.
Oh my God.
Callers. And then, you know, I had to have a calling card. I had to call the operator on base. Back then we actually had humans.
To Mars radio applying to.
It was crazy. So trying to talk back and forth with 8 second delay. I mean, I had everybody hung up and then I started just going dial and then hello, hello, hello. This is Ken Crigley. Don't hang up. And then I'd get people to, you know, not hang up. And then I tell my GPA and they're like,
hung up.
Nope.
Yeah. And so I actually, a lot of times you push a button on a satellite phone and the tones don't go through. So like 30% of the phone calls didn't go through. And I just started like dialing randomly if they didn't connect. And I actually got the president of St. Leo University on accident.
Oh, wow. Was
screaming in the phone, like, don't hang up there. And this guy's like, who is this? You're trying to go to college and you're in Uzbekistan. You're a military guy. Okay, sure. Because it's a private school. They're like, yeah, who cares? So it's a phone. I swear to God.
So, random, you got in via random dialing.
Yeah. I was so committed. Like, I don't care. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, one of the buttons like didn't go through. Just get anyone and try to get transferred. You know, if I got some kid's college dorm, I didn't care. Like, just get me where I need to go.
Keep trying. Resiliency. Yeah. There we
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think right now would be a great time for our first question. We're halfway through the show. Let's get our first question in.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is going to be my third, I feel, at this point, but you had a traumatic brain injury that gave you some abilities. First of all, do you want to talk about your traumatic brain injury and then what happened as a result?
Yeah, just quickly. So I was training for the Olympics and I was out on a bike ride right before deployment. I mean, like days before deployment, I was trying to get some Olympic points to do a race. And I was out on my bike. I got hit by a car. And it was bad. I crushed a car and like I had a near death experience, all this stuff. And as a result, some of my neurons in my brain got rewired. All my senses got rewired. So your senses have to wire, like they have to fire. So they immediately find new neural pathways, no matter what, no matter if they like initiate something else in the body or the brain. And so when someone says banana, I see it, I taste it, I feel it, I smell it. All that stuff. So any nouns that any of you guys throw out today, I'm going to be experiencing them. And so it was
uh-oh. First
couple of years was rough. So
be yeah. Nice, Gooder Ruth.
Yeah.
Be nice.
That's intense. I have a traumatic brain injury too from a car accident, but I didn't get any special abilities.
I'm sorry.
Man, I'll try again.
Well, you're probably super more empathetic with people who've gone through trauma, and that's equivalent to a superpower nowadays.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So Larry, if I say pizza,
mm-hmm.
You smell it.
Mm-hmm. Taste is the biggest one. Taste is a big sense, and so
like
is
you
smell.
You just right now tasted it.
Yeah. And many times you'll do that stuff, and you'll see me like I'll be like, you know. Tasting in my mouth or like, oh God, like apple cider vinegar, you know, like,
I don't even mean to minimize it, but that could be useful. Like diet culture and all of this, I could be eating, I hate to do this to you, cauliflower
mm-hmm.
and have somebody just saying pizza.
Yeah. So that's a trick. But also it helps me, there's a lot of other benefits. So I can see data and information in four dimensions and I can see objects in four dimensions because I can taste isn't just for things that are food. I can taste colors and, you know, I can taste emotions and I can feel and smell information that's around me. So remember all my senses are mixed. So if I hear something, sometimes I will feel it. And so certain frequencies and vibrations and stuff like that. And so I've used that as a superpower, you know, for lack of a better term, for data. A lot of times I can look at very comprehensive, complex data and see the relationships between them. I can taste it. I can feel it. It's pretty cool.
Similar to like a beautiful mind. We just See, you just.
Yeah, similar to that. Not as awesome, maybe as for like counting and math, but yeah, I've never passed a math course in my life, but I gave a keynote on quantum information sciences last year. So I thought that was like a big accomplishment in my life.
Did it make you more like emotional? You're experiencing all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I'm super empathetic. And like if people are the type who kind of wear their emotions, you know, on their sleeve, it can be overwhelming for me because like, you know, the frequencies of thought and emotions, I can smell it, I taste it. And so it allows me to be really present for people who are going through trauma. And heal, like I can heal pretty well, I think, for people who are going through it and relate to them. I can create constructs for them to help deconstruct that trauma, you know, and I've learned a lot of skills in like messing around with people's memories so that it doesn't affect them as much, you know, doing little tricks. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, does the military take leverage these things? Like, did they put you in a position to utilize these, are we calling it with skills or talents? Do you get to use them?
You are prior military, right? You don't know the cold seat, hot butt billeting system we have here, right? So it's been tough because I had to hide a lot of it because I did lose my ability to read for about almost a decade. And that's got me into a lot of trouble. Yeah, it was regulations, trying to file travel vouchers and hey, can you just help me with? And so it's been tough, but yes, I have my last two jobs have been in the position where I can leverage this quite well.
Wow. You made it.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
When you were able to read again, did you relearn it or did it just come back?
No, it was very arduous because if you can imagine a little kid trying to read and they're, you know, sub-vocalizing and they're going and they're stopping, they don't know anything after they go through the page, they have no idea. And so like as an adult male in the military, officer, athlete, it's very embarrassing. So during the pandemic, I actually was like, well, I got nothing else better to do. And I started out with newspaper, you know, comic strips, and I tried to figure out what I can read. Why can I read very narrow, you know, strips of, you know, words. And so I was trying, and my wife is an elementary school teacher.
Oh,
so I was
nice.
Like, hey, can you like help me learn to read?
Yeah.
So she gave me some tricks. You do, you know, cards and stuff. And so it was helpful, but it was like a 6-month process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's me because I'm in Hollywood, but I'm just feeling a Marvel story. You have these things that are legitimately superpowers, but there's also curses that go along with it.
Yeah.
And you seem to be navigating that and keeping your sanity. It's,
yeah.
I mean, if I had to go through like where accidental external stimuli, I'm trying to not say words to trigger those
for you. Yeah, it's okay. I've managed it.
And it actually affects you in a very real experiential way. Now, I mean, people piss me off all the time and that's stressful enough. But if they just say things and it can make me see, feel, taste, like all of that, wow. If that had to, that in and of itself had to take a really long time to get used to. And my question, there's always a question in there somewhere. It just takes me a while to get there sometimes. How was that adjustment? First of all, the realization that, oh, this is happening to me, and then adjusting to it.
So I think like having had some athletic background was incredibly helpful. And having a supervisor, my supervisor when I was enlisted was unbelievable. He said, look, man, you got to get into the books. Nobody reads the books. Not even the finance people read the finance books. So if you read them, you'll know things that they don't know and you'll be able to work the system, blah, blah, blah. And so as a crew chief, we read a lot of tech data. So I had read hundreds and hundreds of books prior to the accident on like being the best athlete. And then I was just getting into brain neuroplasticity when the accident occurred. So I got to watch myself go through it. And it was not until I think about 2016 or 17, where like my stress was under management. I found like a neuroacoustic tool that reduces your stress, and it's called NuCalm. It's awesome. And I got my life back so that I could actually try to go, okay, how can I make this work for me? And then I started to really like learn, like, this is weird. How can I see all this data and everything? And I started reading as much, or not reading, but like audiobooks, you know, learning as much as I could. And my brain was just piecing things together. So when people talk to me, my brain goes in like this multi-dimensional mode of like all of the aspects of what they're talking about. It's really cool. And I used it to learn quantum. I was like, what's the hardest thing? I literally went to Google, hardest thing to learn. And it was like quantum. And I was like, oh, okay, let me check it out. And I got like, I don't know, 8 or 9 months. I gave a keynote speech on it. And like, it was pretty cool. So I'm able to take advantage of it in a bunch of different ways now.
That's amazing.
See, I thought it was going to be compromise. The hardest thing to learn.
Oh, just for you, Jeff.
Is it just me?
Yeah. Just for you. What, were you married before your accident?
No.
Okay. So your family only knew you post.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I feel for them to having gotten in right in the middle when I was like very stressed, but super helpful, you know, to have someone and people around immediately that empathized.
Did it make you a better athlete at all?
Made me the best athlete. And I think, you know, the data says it. I'm arguably the most accomplished military athlete in American history. I've not found anyone who's won more races or been on the podium more than me. I'll break the world record for the longest serving military triathlete in world history. We have yet to find anyone who's gone 17 years qualifying for Armed Forces sports team. I know very few people who've beaten me off an obstacle. And so I have used it to my advantage in sports big time.
Nice.
It's been a lot of injuries because, you know, I didn't feel my body for like 9 years, you know, so I wasn't training right and everything, but there's been a lot of setbacks, but I keep pushing forward, like no matter what, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's interesting to me. What about all of this accelerated your athletic pursuits?
So when the accident occurred, I had a little bit of an experience of showing videos of other people's lives that I had touched. And there were only the lives that I interacted with that I had no expectation of return. And I gave them some kind of help, assistance, or whatever it was. And I got to watch their life play out. And I was like, oh my gosh, like if I can do as much as I can every single day to rack up one video, like when I go, man, it's going to be an epic movie, right? And so for me, I think health and fitness and mental health is the number one thing right now in the world. We have the most sophisticated medicine. We have the most easiest access to healthcare, but we're the sickest stressed out we've ever been. And so I said, well, let me pick the hardest thing, most relevant thing, and try to be the example. And so at 42, being almost on the top of my game, you can't argue with that data point. If you're sitting there and you're at home and you're sick and you're choosing the wrong things, like I can tell you that it is possible because I am a living, breathing example. And so I have never given up, man. Like the injuries, the health problems, the setbacks, the stress, not being able to read, like I have pushed through all of those. And that's my answer to you, is to be the example for people to look at and go, well, if he can do it, I can do it.
An offshoot of Be the One campaign that we have here at the American Legion.
That's right.
Be the one that does all those things. I'm in awe, actually. Holly would kill me. I could do an hour just on your superpowers there. some of it would be going summer barbecue and seeing how. It's also very easy for people to give you joy.
Yeah.
I could just say cotton candy and you go back to being a kid.
Right? Oh, come on. I'm an athlete, man. You got to say
it. Right. Actually, get a power bar.
Yeah, but it's guilt. It's guilt-free cotton candy. It's but guilt-free.
Even if you smell it, you might then want it. So it's like tempting.
No. Oh, he experiences it all. So good.
He does not need to have the real thing.
Look what you're doing.
It smells so good, doesn't it? You're at the fair. And oh.
See? He does not need the real thing. I need this. What kind of car was it? What was their speed and direction?
Right, right.
Yeah. Wow. So you're doing all this stuff. I hope that your relationship with text and words has come back enough that maybe you will write about this experience somewhere.
I have. Thank you for the segue on the book that I published 2 weeks ago. I appreciate that.
2 weeks ago. What's it called?
Yeah. It's called State of Being, How State Everything Being. You Need to Win is Within You.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a book. Sounds like a book I got to buy people.
Yeah, I'll send you some copies. No problem.
Or is it going to have this?
Oh, okay. See, beggars can't be choosers now. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, you can. I actually, here in Los Angeles, I had somebody ask me for food. I gave it to him, and he literally told me, I can't eat this. I'm a vegan.
Oh, wow. Good for him or her.
I said, you're eating vegan. Cows graze. So enjoy that. It's a vegan meal.
It's a vegan meal. Well, you're a giving soul. You're going to play that movie back. So that'll be good.
How was it for you writing a book? That's got to be a pretty amazing accomplishment to go from not being able to read for the longest time and then writing a book.
Yeah. So you're probably realizing I shoot for the moon or maybe the other solar systems. And so, yeah. So right while I was learning to read, I was writing the book. So I did them simultaneously that it would be a little bit more of a reinforcement. And so I would learn, and I even had like the Word document I was writing.
Oh, nice.
Like yeah. This small, you know, so I could see. But yeah, it was pretty good. I tried to really focus in on like the universal flow energy, which I call, you know, and I think it's really good. I got really, really good feedback on it.
Some cool stuff. Find it on Amazon already?
You can. You can put in my last name and I should be the first result now. We'll see.
Oh, super producer she had that at first mention of the title.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And it'll be in the show notes for all the alphas out there who want to be alpha pluses. You're gonna need to learn to find that from within.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff about stress. You know, everyone goes through it and we try to bottle it up. We don't talk about it, but it's you got to address it because it's a necessary part of life.
I mean, I talk about it, but usually in high volume at the source of said stress.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we tend to, it's not a problem till it's a problem. Right. And, that's a big thing because stress is accumulatory. So, you know, a thing that causes you a level three stress over here, combined with another two stress over here, combined with a three and a three, they're all a little bit, but now you're at a 9 or 10 and just some little thing like your phone doesn't work. I mean, that just puts you over the top and you throw the phone and you're just like, why did I just throw the phone? No, it's the 3 or 4 or 5 other things that are just very minor under the radar. And that's a big deal.
Which also reminds me, Be the One, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine recently. And we said, by the time someone has to call 988-1, if you're a veteran, don't understand that. But by the time you dial 988, we've already failed you numerous times, because by the time it becomes a crisis, that means we haven't been locked in and paying attention enough.
Jeff, I think that brings up an important point too, because, you know, the healthcare system in America is very interesting. It's for profit most of the time, right? And so, and it's a, unless you're dying, like, we're just going to keep you above death. And it's just like this resuscitation program. And for me, I tell people, you don't have to get sick to want to be better. And so when you're in the military, you join to get better, to be better, to give back to society. And then we spit them out on the back end without a conduit in place to keep them getting better and better. And so they're going to naturally devolve, right, and get worse. And then it becomes a crisis. So the place to catch people is at baseline, not when they're sliding down, but when they're at baseline and we bring them up, because everyone needs progress, because progress means happiness, right? And so I think that's a big issue or an opportunity. That's where I put myself, is trying to get people to get better, be the best that they possibly be, because then they're happier. When you're happy, your stress is down, and then your body can heal, your brain can heal, and you know, all the systems work properly. Sorry, a little soapbox there, but
no,
I like it.
I want to put all of that on a t-shirt.
I'm down.
I mean, you're gonna have to go to the back and have a guy, have good. Somebody stand next to you with the "to be continued." But I want all of that on a t-shirt, because it's important, and it really is important, because you do have to take care of yourself, because our health care system is designed to react to symptoms after you've already, you know, after you've already felt symptoms. I see some movement in preventative care, but the bulk of healthcare is still, oh, this happened to you, this is how we're going to react to it. Not, oh, you have a family history, let's do this to avoid that. Like,
that's right.
I'd rather have that.
Yeah, I think the big turning point in my life was when I said, look, I got to take control over my health, mental health, physical health, spiritual health. And I'm not going to, this is a touchy subject, because I just said I cannot trust them to do everything in my best interest, because they're not me. And so I, you know, you get a 5-minute doctor's visit and they're supposed to diagnose you for things that you've had for years. You live with it. Every 5 minutes that go by, there's been a million of them. And so you have a million times more experience than that person who's sitting across from you. And so when I said, look, I'm taking care of my own, I'm in charge of my own health. And I went out and I said, if the military health system's not going to support it, I'm going to buy it. I don't care. And so I went out and I got second opinions. I got third opinions. I got product, I got software, I got everything. And that's when my life really started to turn for the better. I mean, I have coaches, I have athletic trainers, I have a slew of support, and I have medical providers that do not take TRICARE, but they're the best. You only get one life. So if you're sitting there and you're like, well, this system's failed me. No, man, you failed your system. Like, you've got to take control. And if the availability of something that can help you is there, don't make any excuses. Go. Who cares? You can always make more money. You can't make more health, and you can't make up time. And so that's when my life started to turn around, is when I just took control of it. I said, I don't care how much it costs or how much time it is. It's about me and my health. I need to be present for my family, you know, and people around you, you know?
Well, it's interesting, all of that you say, because this show drops on the 14th of March, which is a week. Holly, I don't know if you know this. It's a week from anniversary of my stroke. And oh, you're talking about all of this neuro stuff. And I'm definitely going to be reading that thing. And I wrote New Calm down.
Me too.
Because that stress thing was apparently a big part of it for my ailment a year ago. And don't want to repeat that. So got to get that stress. Got to get that stress in check, you know?
And I'm sorry about that. And, you know, congratulations on being 6 foot vertical, you know, like that's a testament to what you've done to yourself and your body and your will to survive. It's incredible. And I'm glad your family still has you.
Well, that poster they had a poster up that reminded me of what you just said. And I'm like, yeah, y'all probably should have put that in front of me. It says, you're the quarterback of your own treatment or your own healing. And I did, I put the table sideways, sat in it like it was my desk. And I'd have the nurses and the doctors come in and I go, I need to know what we're doing here. Why haven't I had an MRI? Of course, I was talking a lot slower, but yeah. I was still running things.
Advocating and for yourself. It's great.
You have to. You literally have to. Everything he's saying resonates in truth about how you need to take care of yourself. And if you're out there, like, buy this book. And I've not seen the book, didn't know the book existed before we got on this show. But what the words that are falling out of this man's mouth are speaking truth to me. And I'm assuming that they're going to fall off the page as well. That's all I have to say about that. I could, but Holly gets mad. I go on and on. So thanks so much for being here and these pearls of wisdom. And please, Newcomb is spelled how?
N-U-C-O-M-M? N-U-C-A-L-M.
Yeah. Oh, Newcomb.
Yeah. N-U-C-A-L-M.
Did you already find that too, Holly? What?
Man, she is sharp.
She's on it.
Why do you think we call her super producer?
Incredible. I mean,
we got two Marvel prototypes on one call.
I love it. You know,
What would we call you? She's mouthing a suggestion. I have no idea what she's saying. I'll just call him Air Force Ken. Yeah. I will tell you, do you know what? I have a favorite Marvel character. Although, as of right this very second, the Punisher. You know why he's my favorite Marvel character?
Why?
He only has one superhero.
Nice.
He earned his EGA in the United States Marine Corps. That's nice. All I'm saying. That's his only superpower. He can't fly. He's not super strong. He can't deflect bullets. He's just a Marine. That's it.
Hey, everybody who serves is super.
And now I'm saying they need Air Force Ken.
All right. I'll call him up.
Air Force Ken doll. There you go.
Yeah, you can Google that because there used to be a Barbie doll in Air Force Ken.
There was an Air Force Ken? You have one?
Oh, yes. They people send me randomly emails or LinkedIn or whatever, like, hey, did you know that there's a Barbie doll called Air Force Ken? Barbie's still boyfriend. Oh, man. It's like from the 40s or whatever, but yeah.
I love it.
Oh, you need that thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised I don't have one up on the wall.
You're in your 40s, and it's from the 40s. I think it's high time that you put that next to all those axes that you have. That if you're not watching on YouTube, Ken has quite the display of his athletic victories on his wall. And many of them are axes from bike races.
Oh, obstacle course races, yeah.
Oh, obstacle course.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
One of the obstacles was not somebody throwing axes at you.
Ken, no, before well we head out, what's your next challenge? What are you taking on next?
Oh, yeah, look at you. So I got accepted to Ninja Warrior. So
You did? Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So they got a soft spot for the old guys, I guess. So
you're not old.
I compete on that. I don't feel it. I still feel like I'm 20. But so I'll compete on that, hopefully. Everything works out well. Oh, and yeah. Then I have Armed Forces National Triathlon Championships a few days later. And then I have the World Military Triathlon Championships in May. And that is most of the stuff I have planned. I got a couple other races and I think maybe two more world championships and obstacle course races, but that's all for the year.
That's cool. They brought a dialed down version of the American Ninja Warrior to Dover Air Force Base when we were there. And I went through, they had a little competition and I made it a little bit of the way through, but it tore off my hands. The way that you just don't even think about the calluses that they build.
Yeah, man. See?
I fell off the bars, the grippy handlebars, and then they had a little ambulance thing because I wanted my hands to be wrapped up so I could do it again. And they took alcohol and they just went, yeah, there's a friction. It's right in there.
That's painful.
But I was into it. I love that stuff. Salmon ladders.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Maybe you can come out and watch, or you can tune in or whatever. So
love to.
Oh, Jeff.
You muted yourself.
I said I have a Ninja air fryer, so I can participate.
Ninja smoothie too. I got that.
Well, thank you so much, Ken. We are going to get that book. It's called, once again,
State of Being, How Everything You Need to Win is Within You.
Everything You Need to Win is Within You. Please go out and get that. And you can follow Ken everywhere with Air Force Ken. I've seen it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Although we have a typo, it just says Air Force Ken. I'm assuming it's Air Force. And his real name on LinkedIn, Ken Corigliano.
Hey, that was good, Jeff. Look at you. You pronouncing these hard Italian last names, and it hasn't even been a year after your accent.
Oh,
so
all I can tell you, it was rough for a while.
It was.
Yeah, British soldiers is my little measuring stick. But that just saying that all those syllables together, that was.
Yeah. Yep. I wouldn't switch it.
I wouldn't switch it to Redcoats to save my life. Anyway, thanks so much for being here. This is probably going to be a very impactful collection of information that I'm assuming many people out there are going to connect with, and they're going to be rooting for you to be the Ninja Warrior. Whoop, whoop. Thank you. I know I am. I don't even watch that, but I will.
Well, good. I'm glad. And for anyone who watches on your show, if they message me, I respond to every single message. So
you need to be careful. You're going to get probably 7 or 8 messages.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's good. That's my
all right. Thank you so much. What we're going to do now, Ethel, is we're going to go for a break. We're going to let Ken get back to training so that he can win the Ninja Warrior for you. I'm sure he'll dedicate it to you specifically. You know who you are. And yes. we're going to talk about Ken right after we come back from the break.
By pulling out your cell phone and simply typing www.legion.org/action, you have at your fingertips our legislative priorities. With one press of a button, you can let your congressmen and your senators know what the American Legion wants to pass, and you can do it every single day. The power is in our hands. You just have to take the opportunity to use it.
All right, we are back from the break. We are Air Force Ken is gone, but Air Force Military Spouse of the Year, Ashley Gudermuth, is here with me as always. What do you have a takeaway from Air Force Ken?
Oh, Air Force Ken's awesome. The things that he's gone through, the not being able to read for 10 years and just having other people fill out his travel vouchers and not trying to hide that he couldn't read and then reteaching himself how to do it. I think that's amazing. I also wonder if my husband had what he has had, synesthesia, the amount that I would mess with him. It would be relentless. I'm a bad wife. I think that's the conclusion you I would took
just,
away from it.
Whatever he hates to eat, you would just say
depends
it.
On the day. Is he messing with me? Has he started the fight, Jeff? If he has, then yeah, I'm coming in hot with something he doesn't like.
Coming in hot. How's that cauliflower? As he's trying to eat something else, and then he's just tasting what you say. That's amazing. All right, we're going to move on now. You know where we're going? We're going to the range. We are about to engage in pew, 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 rapid fire. All right, rapid fire number one. Marines welcome first woman to serve as senior enlisted of an expeditionary force. It's come from Stars and Stripes, straight from Okinawa. The Marine Corps' first to fight force in the Pacific made history Tuesday. This was Tuesday, probably a week ago, two weeks ago. Sergeant Major Joy Kitashima replaced Sergeant Major Eric Cook as Sergeant Major of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force during a relief and appointment ceremony at Camp Courtney's parade grounds. She's from Bloomington, Indiana, their super producer, Holly. She's right 1 hour, just driving distance to you. As she's the first female Marine to fill the role in a Marine Expeditionary Force. It's not her first time in Okinawa, though. This is Kitashima's fourth tour in Okinawa, speaking to several hundred Marines standing at attention on the field and in the audience. She said she was excited to be back home. "You're the reason I'm excited to be back in 3rd MEF," she said. "I will give everything I have, 100%, for as long as I serve in this capacity."
Nice. Jeff, as a Marine, how do you feel if somebody were to whisper, "The Sergeant Major wants to see you"?
Terrified.
Look at his face.
Belief. In fact, when I had to speak, at Camp Pendleton for a Black History Month thing, and they're like, "Yeah, the captain wants to thank you," and there's the Sergeant Major and the Master Gunnery Sergeant, same E level, they're in there, and I'm like, this 100% feels like I'm in a boatload of trouble.
Yeah, this is gonna be real bad.
I still feel that way.
Skin crawl.
Because you know the colonel never asks for you, and if he does, it means he or she wants something. It's not you're not in trouble if they call you. It's woo.
Sergeant Major, different story.
All right, I don't know if I can go on, but I'm gonna try. We're gonna go to rapid fire number pew pew two. Tom Cruise is filming Mission Impossible on a Navy aircraft carrier. This comes from Task and Purpose. Tom Cruise just can't get enough of naval life. And apparently the U.S. Navy can't get enough of Tom Cruise. And after bringing back Pete Maverick Mitchell for one last flight in last year's Top Gun Maverick, Cruise is once again climbing aboard a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier, just not as a naval aviator. They're talking about this is going to be the fourth ship that he's filmed on. I was in the Marine Corps deployed. I've only been on two ships. He's outshipped me.
He's outshipped you. Yeah, but you did real work on it.
And I spent more than like a week or two on it. But
I hope that he's paying for gas.
Yeah, can you imagine that, Bill? So what do you think? Do you know Top Gun Maverick is, this airs after, but I'll say it now. It's nominated for Best Picture, isn't it?
Really?
Right?
Really?
An action movie like that? A popcorn movie got nominated. I'm going to call it now. It doesn't win. We'll see how this ages.
We'll see how it ages. I don't know.
What if won after I just declare that it will not under any circumstance win?
What if it did? Well, then we know you can't predict the future.
Yeah, don't ever listen
to me. It changes
to
our whole relationship.
But I did love the movie, so there's that. All right. Holly, do we have time for rapid fire number pew, pew, pew three?
All right, rapid fire
number pew, pew, pew three comes from Legion Town, one of my favorite places on the internet. It's cozy, it's comforting, and it has an IHOP at the end of the street where you can enjoy yourself. Last Saturday, the Department of Puerto Rico, the title, Legion Shows Support for Irreverent Warriors. Last Sunday, the Department of Puerto Rico walked beside 150 plus veterans and service members who came out to advocate for mental health through an initiative by a nonprofit called Irreverent Warriors. This initiative brought the veteran community together for the third year in a row, where we saw a beautiful display of flags, hats, and t-shirts of all the branches of the armed forces, VSOs and nonprofits that give a helping hand to those in and out of the island of Puerto Rico. The energy was contagious. We began together, and as in military service, we left no one behind. It was probably the first time I have seen so many veterans come together for a cause having to do with mental health since I retired in 2014. I don't have here who I is, but love that. And you can also, you know what I love now on Legion Town? And I'm taking all the credit because, you know, I'm running for mayor. That the PR departments of these departments are submitting these. This is written by the PR department of PR.
The PR, the Public Relations Department of Puerto Rico.
Yep, the PR of PR. So
I like it. I like what they're doing. Anything that helps one another, I think, is the way to go.
And I love this, that suicide prevention that they're doing, the Be the One, the stuff that you're involved with the healing, heal areas. I love all of that. And I love the fact that I know a year from now, there are going to be more people alive because of all those concerted efforts. So with that being said, can you take us home, please?
Yes, I can. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let me get in real close so that you can just feel me in your heart and soul. Can you just don't forget to subscribe to the Tango Alpha Lima podcast? I don't know what you got going on in your life, but subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. I don't mind, wherever it is. Leave us a review and give us a big old 5 stars. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. I'm coming to your house and I'm going to shut off your plumbing. So the world knows how much you love us. If you have a guest recommendation, we'd love to hear it. Go to legion.org/Tango Alpha Lima. Click on the suggest a guest link. We want to meet who you like, who you love, and who you hate. Why not? Let's change it up a bit. Thank you so much for joining us, Jeff.
All right. Alpha's out there. You heard it from her Royal Highness herself. You need to subscribe. You need to get out there. You need to spread the word. You need to get us a bunch of alphas. Ask yourself this right now. What would Air Force Ken do? If you think that to yourself, you're going to do the right thing. You're going to be the example that everyone follows, because you are basically a Marvel superhero that isn't on Disney Plus. You're out there living in the world. So right now with that, I'm going to declare season 4, episode 150, Mission 4.